Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. This one is special. We are live on the Bullhorn app where you can comment with your questions. You can call in. You can interact and participate. Fun, fun stuff. I am JP. He is Nick. Nick, how are you, man?
I'm so good.
Good, man. Good to hear. Yeah. Today on the show, we are stoked and honored to have American singer-songwriter. He's a TV and movie star. You may have seen him on such shows as One Tree Hill. And of course, he played, thank you very much, Elvis in Walk the Line. Welcome, Tyler Hilton, man. How are you?
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Good.
Thank you for coming on, man. So the premise of Dadcast, if you weren't already aware, is just a couple of dads who like to talk with other celebrity dads and talk about all things dad, your path, your adventure, your journey. Now, we do tend to go off the rails sometimes on the show, Tyler. So, and by sometimes, I mean pretty much every single time. So I just want to be forewarned. And the rite of passage, the very first question, and I'll stop talking, is, are you a dad?
Oh, yeah. I'm a dad to a 2.5-year-old girl.
Wow. And that's the only one? 2.5?
Yeah. A 2.5-year-old girl. Yeah. We're going to wait till we see what happens with like the hospitals and the pandemic till we think about, or, you know, it'd be great if we could plan it to, for this whole thing to be kind of overish and then we go for another one. But yeah, we want more for sure. But yeah, we had her right before, literally like in December 2019.
Right.
So, it was so just
yeah, you guys were lucky. Yeah, we had we were lucky.
And then I've had this weird dad experience where we talk about it all the time where it's like we've been, I mean, she and I are so close, but we've been in such a bubble, you know, all those things that you would, I guess, normally do with kids around two. I don't know. It's all kind of different, you know, but it's been its own special thing. And now I don't know if we go back to the real world. I don't know kind of like even who I would be or whatever, because I'm such a dad now. You know what I mean? Like 24/7. For like 2.5 years, which I didn't see coming. I didn't see it being like a 24-hour brain job, you know, that you're thinking about it your entire life forever. You know, it's wild. Right.
Oh, and you're just getting started, man.
I can't imagine.
My wife and I, we just had we have an almost 2-year-old. He was born right in the midst of the pandemic and ended up in the NICU. Wow. So I didn't get to see him for like 3 months. No. So it was so weird, like just navigating those waters of having the hospital call me at work. Hey, come down and you have 1 hour and that's it. So I got like 1 hour a week.
And then what, you guys couldn't have family there or anything like that?
No. So my wife fought to stay with him. They wanted my wife and I both to leave and he was going to stay in the NICU by himself until he was better. And so she fought to stay there. And I was like, you know what? If they let you stay, stay. I'll see him when I can see him. That was like totally
amazing. They let her stay.
Yeah. So it's just, so weird. Like just everything with the pandemic and just kind of like, we're actually trying to have another one right now. So I'm like, man, scared of what happens if we go backwards and, you know, the whole lockdown thing happens again. And
well, we're at that weird point where it's like, at what point do you just go, I'm just going to keep going on with my life and, you know, see what happens. And it's just, that's what's been so weird about this whole thing. I call it like the let's just wait 2 weeks pandemic. I've been saying let's just wait a couple of weeks for like
two weeks to slow the spread. That's what they called it. And it's 2 years. I'm like,
I really feel like in a couple of weeks we'll know more. I even feel that now. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just wild. So
if there's any silver lining, Nick, with what you just said about, you know, the fear of the unknown, it's really not a fear of the unknown, man. You have lived it. You have been through it. You have experienced having a child in the midst of a global pandemic. So I don't think there's any issue, man. I think you got this. And if there isn't,
and just kind of handle the stuff at home and figure it out as we go. And hopefully this one comes out okay instead of having some issues. So
what cool stories though, for their like own personal legends, you know, like the story like they're going to build their whole lives on starts in such a wild way. You know, I mean, I guess their whole generation will, so it won't be that special, but that generation is just so interesting in that way, you know, and the parent kid relationship for everyone over the past couple of years, I imagine is so crazy. Like, so my 2-year-old, like your kids are going to have like me home every hour of every day for like 2 years. Like who gets that? That's wild. You know?
Right. I mean, that's gotta be the coolest thing to come out of the pandemic though, is more time with the kids instead of, you know, I took a year and a half off from work because the the field I was in just kind of died because of the pandemic. So I was able, once he got home from the hospital, I've been home with him ever since. I just recently went back to a full-time job. So that's been really cool to bond with him for a year and a half, basically, and just really get to know him and kind of just be a
Dude, how lucky. Same thing with me, like being a touring musician, like it just died off, you know, for the pandemic. And then it was like, and I'm thinking, when else would I have had the time when, you know, would I have ever taken honestly 2 years off from touring to like, it's just wild. Yeah, that's cool.
That topic has come up on with quite a few guests. And usually when it comes with the question is, how did you handle, you know, being a touring musician, no work? And the light, you know, if you want to look at the positive, is that exact thing. All of us got to, whether we wanted to or not, expected it to or not, got to be at home. And it was a blessing. There's times when, you know, at least in my case, where it was, please, for the love of God, can school please start and can they leave for just a little bit? But you got it easy, man. You just had a little baby growing around.
I know. I can't imagine if you had elementary school kids or high school kids or middle. I mean, the whole thing. I can't. How old are your kids?
17, 11, and 8.
Oh.
Yeah. So I run the whole gamut. Exactly. And I wanted to also mention that to you. What's your little girl's name?
Winnie,
she's going to be 17 one day, Tyler. So I just not to like put any negativity.
Yes, or JP, I have the whole gamut too. Like I've got like my baby, then I've got 15 to 23 are the ages of my kids. Okay. Wow. So yeah,
that Nick knows about.
How did you? How did you navigate the high school thing the last couple of years?
It was definitely rough. Like my kids were very involved in like sports and marching band and stuff, and it was done. Like there was nothing. So like they're, you know, all of a sudden they're going to tournaments, going to this and that, and then nothing. So and then staying home all the time, and I think the social part of it was like the hardest of. Okay, you can talk to your friends on social media, you can talk to them via text, but nope, you're not going to their house. You're not going to go hang out at the mall. You're not going to go to see a movie.
Now, I wonder if that means this next college generation is going to be like wild. Like, I don't know. We don't know what the ramifications are culturally, but wouldn't that be interesting if you could see these high school kids, no one got to hang out for like 4 years. And then whatever this, you know, whoever starts college like 2023, 2024, like I wonder if it's just going to be like Animal House for 4 years. Like no doctors are going to come out of that class.
God, I hope so. I hope so.
Social explosion.
Yeah. And I hope Trojan really stock goes up too as well.
Yeah, that's the next stock I'm going to buy probably.
All right. So, Tyler, I got a question. I want to take you back. Give or take 3 years ago, it was a fateful day and you were – let known that you were going to become a dad. Can you relive that day, that moment? How did it happen for you? And how did you feel?
We were trying. And so we were kind of like, a lot of it was kind of, I got to make some of that decision of like, okay, we're doing this before. I remember she took a test and my wife's like pretty mellow. Like I'm the one that like gets crazy about stuff. And she showed me the test and was like, it's positive. And I was just like, you know, we both cried. It was like just super heavy moment. The crazier moment though is, you know, she's pregnant this and I'm feeling this duty and I'm like, you know, reading all the books and getting all into it. But then when I saw this one sonogram they sent where it was like from a profile and it looked like a little me, it was like the first time it all hit me. Like everything until then was all just mental. It was like science, you know, there's this seed I'm taking care of and, you know, I don't know. And then I saw this face and it was like, that was like the moment. And I remember my wife sent me the picture and I took a picture of my face right then as I was watching it. Cause I was like, I was stunned. And so I happened to have this picture, you know, cause it was just, I feel like that was the moment that hit me that I was like, oh my God, there's this person that I'm about to like shepherd.
You know, that's right.
Wild.
It is. It's not absolutely just
an idea. Like one day I'm gonna with this with my kid, or one day my kid. Like you have this idea, but like there is no like kid. It's gonna be this individual person that all of a sudden you have to like reconcile with it. It's like so wild. You know, it's so much less control and more responsibility than I thought. And you know, and it all happened just seeing that face. Like, oh man, it's real.
It is. It's amazing. And man, we're 12 minutes into this podcast, and I can say unequivocally without any shadow of any doubts that you, sir, are what dads need to be. All dads, period. You know, the ones that are into it, the ones that are excited for it, the ones that take that responsibility. And that's kind of why we're doing this show, man, to shed a little light on, really, hey, cool, man, we, this is a pretty important role, and we take it very seriously. And it is the hardest dang job you'll ever love. I got a shirt. I didn't wear it today, but it says that.
That's a great saying. That's true. I was thinking that this is the hardest I've ever worked or thought. It's the hardest job I've, yeah. Wow. That's
and wait till she's 17, man. Nick, Tyler, I'm going to do my best to navigate what I'm about to tell you without incriminating anything. Because this one is not something that I can openly share to the world, but I do need to talk about it. So the 17-year-old, I'm going to leave out some details, but, she drove halfway across Oregon, to do something she wasn't supposed to do. She was told not to do. She knew this is something you're not supposed to do, yet did it anyway, and then drove all the way back, lied about it. And we're now sitting at a point where, and to give you a little, pull back the curtain a little bit for you, Tyler, my oldest is my stepdaughter. She shares time with dad and over here, and he's a great guy. He's a good dad. He's there. He does his thing. Parenting rules are a little bit different from house to house, but she's currently over there right now. And I am so afraid for when she gets back over here, because, you know, things are not going to be very pleasant, man. And it's
and that's like almost like an adult you're dealing with.
When you're
dealing
and with, like, that is where you have to tiptoe, because she will be 18 in December. And hey, man, we were all that age. She feels like she needs more freedom, and she's almost at that point where we can't tell her what to do. And it's all these things you need to balance. And this particular set of scenarios that happened is not good. Okay. They were just not a good thing. And I don't know how I'm going to navigate it, man. Tune in the next episode to find out how JP handled said
thing. I don't even know what kind of advice to give you, because I'm kind of dealing with the same thing with my 17-year-old, where she like ran back to her mom's house and hasn't been home in 3 weeks because she's mad at me because I took away her car for disobeying and coming home past curfew.
And so that's another thing. We threatened to take the car away. You know what she said? No. Like, what? So
the battery out of the car. I'm like, now what are you going to do?
Yeah, there you go. And they might have to go that route. But yeah, Tyler, she's going to be 17 one day.
Like a class in negotiating or something like that when she's in middle school or elementary school.
Oh, man, who knows? Like, and everyone's different, you know.
It's awesome up until they're like 15. They're your best friend. They're your princess. You're the king. And then all of a sudden, 15 and a half hits, and you're like, you're the worst person in the world for, I'm hoping it goes away soon, but man, it is just so hard to get through.
That's crazy. Yeah, and all that like teen angst that we felt and all that stuff that drives rock and roll and every kind of pop music ever, it's all that huge force against you as a parent. All of a sudden, you're on the other side of that glass. You know, you've got that entire culture of like, against you now, you know what I mean? It's like, that's so wild.
And when we were that age, it was, that would never happen. I'm going to be the, nope. It's just a vicious, vicious circle. And I'm just thankful I still have my 8-year-old to hold on to and be like, okay, you know, at least you still love me.
You still dig me, right?
Yeah, you still love me. Buds, right? And you don't get in trouble very often. Now, I had a conversation with her in the car this morning on the way to dropping her off from school. And I said, baby girl, you've been seeing what's going on, and you know, we try to keep the bad away from their ears and eyes, but you know, she's ain't stupid. Their kids are sponges. And I said, I just really hope when you get older that you are still going to love me like you do now, and you make good decisions. Just make good decisions. You know, you're going to make mistakes. It happens. It's part of life. And don't ever be afraid to talk to your papa, because that's what I'm here for. Even if you think you're going to be in trouble. Whew. So, yeah, that's what we're dealing with right now. All right, back to Tyler.
That's wild.
Backing it up. Really, so you found out, you got that picture taken. Things are real for you. Fast forward 9 months. the day of delivery. How'd that go for you, man? Were you there?
Yeah, so nervous. And this is the beautiful part too, is that my grandma is like one of my favorite person in the world. And she's passed away since the pandemic happened. She was like 92, but she was at the hospital and she was walking around raring to go right up until the end. So she was at the hospital with my mom, my dad, my aunts, my uncles, my wife's parents, like everyone was there at the hospital, you know? And that's like, I didn't think to appreciate that at the time, you know? And I'm so glad we have these pictures and stuff. Anyway, it was great. And I was so alert. I felt like it was like what I can only imagine, like hunting in the winter forest feels like just like, like every detail, like a nurse would come in. I'd be like, you know,
I think Tyler just turned into a velociraptor right there.
Yeah, I was like, there was so much happening. And it's also my first, you know, and I mean, it was like a fire hose of just like, listen up, son, you know, like just here we go. And also, this woman that you love is about to go through the craziest thing she's ever gone through in her life. So you're kind of like, you know, which actually helped me relax a little bit and take it off myself. But anyway, I was very, very alert and on edge and like ready to go and just like so amped for it. It was something.
Good stuff. So that's what we like to hear, man. That is just,
yeah. I will and say
congratulations on becoming a dad, by the way.
Dude, thank you. I was so after, you know, she was born, it was like the, you know, beautiful. And on my way home, when they released us from the hospital, all of a sudden I got this wave of dizziness where I thought like, I'm about to have to drive this baby through the world back to our house. And I thought like, how am I going to drive this baby? Do I know how to drive? Am I going to be able to stay alert enough to get home? And so I told my dad, I was like, you got to follow me home. Like, you got to tail me. Cause like, I'm literally afraid I'm going to pass out in the car. And so Megan's back with the baby. I'm like 10 and two, like mouth so dry, like so nervous. My dad's like driving 10 miles an hour right behind me. And we like drive, you know, she was born in Beverly Hills. We live in the Valley of LA. So I had to drive through Beverly Hills, Hollywood, onto the 101 with this like tiny baby. It was like the most nerve-wracking moment of my life.
I was just on the 405 4 days ago. I get it.
Crazy.
I grew up in LA, man. So I know exactly where. Yeah. And I'm so glad I'm back in Oregon.
Drive like you're like, you know, San Vicente and you're, you know, Beverly. And it's like, it's just cars everywhere. And all of a sudden you're so hyper aware. You're this precious little thing in the back seat. And oh my God.
Well, right. if an experienced dad such as myself and Nick could offer you a bit of advice, if please, you do end up having another child, I assure you that what you just experienced, gone. This one's be like, throw them in the back. We're good. Let's go.
Nice. It's like, yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, because it's like my first time with a car seat, the whole thing. So I'm like, you sure it's tight?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're right. By the time the second or third one comes in, you're like,
you realize they bounce. It's all good.
Yeah, they're cushiony. Heck, you just throw them back there with a hamster wheel and a drip. You're fine. It's all good. You know, everything will be
my good. Little guy has this thing about climbing on the highest chair, table, or couch you can find and jumping off. That's really? His thing.
And I'm how like, old is he?
He's almost two, like 20 months right now.
Wow.
And I'm like, dude, that's going to hurt. He's like, no, Dad. Boom.
We should get, you know,
I've heard about those climber babies.
His
she
girl,
wasn't one of those, but we.
It's cool. Scary.
His
it's,
girl yeah, he, and your like, boy, a little betrothal. I mean, it may be early for that, but, you know.
Hey, I dig that.
What do you have to offer? I mean, what's the dowry, Nick? Couple goats, pigs, horses?
Goats,
what?
The cow.
Yeah.
Card, sweeten the deal.
We are live on the Bullhorn app with Mr. Tyler Hilton of One Tree Hill fame, singer-songwriter. He was in Walk the Line. He played Elvis. Everyone listening right now, feel free to call in with your questions, chat us up. If that's something you'd like to do, if you have a question for Tyler, I see you all. I see there's people listening, so don't be shy. Feel free to join in. While we wait to see if that happens, I have a quick little thing I'd like to drop, part of our sponsorship here with Tyler, or not with you, Tyler, but with Dadcast. Dadcast and Save Homefront or hashtag SHFV are excited to announce how you can aid in their programs and mission. Now, the mission of SHFV, to provide society with an authentic depiction of the U.S. veteran, to preserve our history, create business opportunities, and improve our image through arts and entertainment. You could follow their page at the link we have up on our website, dadcast.co. And we can't tell you why yet, Okay, but something amazing is coming very, very soon for our dads here in Oregon and California. It's information on a contest, and that's all I can say at this point. But it's going to be awesome. In the meantime, we are proud to launch our official shirt benefiting our U.S. veteran charity Save Home Front. It will be available on the website very, very, very soon. And those are only the details I can give right now. Okay. With that being said, SHFE, Save Home Front, you're amazing. Thank you. We're so proud to be partnered up with you guys. Whew. Okay.
All right.
Man, the commitment.
So I got something.
Oh, you got something. Okay.
About probably 12 years ago, I actually brought you into Grants Pass, Tyler, to play a show at a little tiny venue in Grants Pass, Oregon.
No way.
Yeah, so the venue was probably, I think 75 was the cap on it. It was just a little tiny venue downtown. It was like, you were like one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And
wait, like, when was this? Like 2000, wait, when was this?
God, it would have been 2010? 2009, maybe. Oh. Yeah, oh. I think you were still on One Tree Hill back then.
Oh, okay.
It was just a little tiny venue. It was like really cool, kind of a thing we were doing back in the day.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, that's cool. What a small world.
Yeah, yeah. So when you responded on Instagram, I'm like, oh, sweet. That's so cool.
Dude, that's cool. So yeah. Are you guys both in Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Southern Oregon, about, 30 miles above the border of California on the I-5. Beautiful. And he's just a little bit farther north.
All us Hiltons are like leaving California, going to Oregon. Like my cousin moved to Portland. My uncle just moved to Bend. I feel like there's other people just like thinking about Oregon now. Everyone's like thinking about that. That's
cool. Well, you've been here. It's pretty awesome. It's beautiful. And I'm a Southern California kid as well. I spent 30 years of my life before I eventually made my way here. And I just took my kids on spring break. That's why I was in LA. We spent 4 days at Disneyland. Five of us, three kids in the back of a Tesla, which is right yonder. Not that one, but that one. I wouldn't recommend that, for the record. Okay. Not a 12-hour and three kids in the back of nope. Next time we're taking the SUV, silly me for wanting to save money on gas and take the electric car.
I would recommend flying, but I would not even recommend
driving. Yeah, that too. But the second we got in LA and I'm back, in my old stomping grounds, and I hit the 101 and eventually the 405, I was like, yep, I remember why I left.
Wow.
It is, if I could pinpoint it, it literally is the traffic.
That is so crazy. And I think about it. I went from driving, at least 2 hours a day in LA going anywhere. I don't know. And at least an hour a day in the car, and no way to haven't driven hardly at all in like 2 years. Like that's such a strange thing. That's a huge change, or something else you were saying earlier that made me think. The other thing about dads that's such a big change is like, what a huge change for probably a ton of men over the last pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Like staying home and just what a different point of view. You know what I mean? It's just that's in the minority culturally. You know what I mean? That kind of, dudes being at home and just what an interesting culture shift. It's been a huge eye-opening thing for me, like really interesting. But anyway, same thing with the driving. Like,
were you totally still able to perform during the pandemic? Did you do any online events that got very, very popular during that time?
Yeah, I started a Patreon and doing like monthly concerts on my Patreon, which I still do. And I'll probably keep that up forever. Like, I actually really liked it. I thought it was going to feel really stale and not cool. And it's not the same as performing live, but it's definitely something totally different that I don't want to stop doing.
So right.
It's actually kind of cool. And I never would have got into that other than the pandemic. I would have been like, no, I'm not doing that. Sounds dumb or something, but I love it. So that's been cool. But there's been such a shift, the main thing is my wife's career totally started taking off as the pandemic happened. So she's a writer director. So she's been getting tons of writing jobs, directed a couple movies, won an award. And so she's doing all this other stuff. So she's full time, like on the phone writing. So that's the other thing that made this different for us, is at some point I shifted totally over to just doing total domestic stuff. And for a while, the wild thing is, in a lot of ways I'm growing up for the first time, because I spent so much time on the road. I didn't do a ton of housework or anything like that. And I went full on from being on the road for years to being you know, cooking, cleaning, baby, like that's the vibe. And mom comes home at like six when the last phone call seven, if you know, like
right.
full on. So, you know, the nature of our business is everything's kind of like flowing a different, but I've been in that world and, love it. Love it. Never would have guessed in a million years how like peaceful and zen and kind of like cool it is to just have this schedule and be in this like total domestic routine. But anyway, just such an interesting like eye-opening thing for me. Like really cool.
I agree, man. I've, you know, I've helped. You know, my responsibilities shift when it comes to the lady and the kids and whatnot. But a lot of the time it's doing those exact duties. And I realize that if you do enough of the work on Monday or all of it, and with you only having one kid Bro. Who's still a baby, you have a whole lot of really fun free time the rest of the week if you strategize and do it right. Now there's three kids and not so much, but you know, done right, it can be very relaxing. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm by no means saying it's not hard work. The single moms out there and all the hands down.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, wow, I total new respect for anyone right? that's ever done that, ever been. Like, I can't even imagine. It feels like more juggling more to me than like a top CEO would do, like the busiest I've ever been on the road. I can't imagine juggling. Anyway, it's wild juggling those kind of projects.
And after doing it for a while and then having the opportunity to go back to a work job where I left the house, there were times where I was actually looking forward to going to work because – home was a whole lot of work, yeah. But again, if you strategize and you do it right, it can be very relaxing.
It would be cool to bring back home economics, you know, because
right?
the truth is between what cleaners to use where and when, and like keeping a house budget,
right?
Cooking. I mean, so many things like that. What the proper way to beat a rug or something? I don't know. Like just the stuff that we're all into, like YouTube at some point. Like, couldn't you like throw us a bone early in life and like get us going on all that stuff? Like, anyway, it's that I maybe after this pandemic there will be a renewed importance on it because we've all definitely gotten a big, you know, good look at it.
It's well crazy. I think I just came up with a brand new YouTube channel, Domestic Dad, and instructions on how to do all things that mom used to do, but now we get to do. I, you know, call me crazy.
It's either that or a sitcom, one of the two. I like that title better.
I'll do the sitcom too, Domestic Dad. Now that you know what, in 6 months we're going to see that up there, and we're going to totally. We missed our shot. Okay, right. Man, I kind of want to shift gears just a tad since we have Tyler on the show, and this is about the off the rails part I was talking about earlier, and we're about halfway through the show already, so I want to talk about music and television and all that good stuff. So I guess to start right off the bat, where are you at right now with the music career? Any actual live shows coming up anytime in the near future, and if so, where and when, and how can we get there?
You're still doing my Patreon live right. shows, and the next one is Thursday.
But I mean, like, you know, like a venue, concerts.
Oh, the next venue is, I think I'm not playing a show again until like March of next year.
Wow. Okay. So you get another year with the baby. All right.
We might have to fix that. We might I'm have chilling. To hit up your agent and see if we can pull you into this big event that we have coming up.
That could be cool. That could be cool.
Nick, you promised you wouldn't do this yet.
I know.
Don't say a word. We're just going to continue this podcast. But if I were to say anything, it is amazing, and it would be pretty cool. But we'll just leave that at that. Your agent's just going to call you later.
That's cool.
All right. Any new acting gigs in the pipeline, or is that
I'm just taking a break for a second because until we can figure out. We got to figure out our kind of like dynamic now, family wise. See, Megan's totally busy. I mean, now she's booked doing movies the rest of the year. And so everything's kind of changed for me now. So I'm trying to figure out how to do it. You know, like I want to be there, especially since she's going to be so busy for the next year or so. So I kind of pushed everything off until next year to kind of make a decision. But I think I'm doing another year of just hanging at home, you know, and I'm writing music and I'm, you know, doing some, you know, scoring and stuff like that, doing a lot of like music stuff like that, working on an album, but it's kind of like a different pace. You know, I'm just like, I'm not trying to get anything out. I'm really just trying to like raise this girl for a second. So I don't know. I'm still working it out.
That's crazy. The best job awesome. In the world, man. And nothing will give you more.
But as it changed, like when I found out her movie was going this summer and she's going to be filming that, then I was like, okay, let me, you know, so I'm just kind of taking it as it comes, but it's just weird. You know, it's not like it used to be where everything just made sense. You know, you just did what your parents did. And with these last couple years, like it's just every decision, you know, is like, now what do we do? You know? So I don't know. Wild. Wow.
It's you're not alone, man. I mean, heck, we started this podcast in the middle of it, and it is blown up into proportions that I knew would happen, but not as quick as it did. And really, really cool. I mean, I have a background in radio. Speaking of which, I own a radio station. It's called Pirate Radio, P-Y-R-A-T-E Radio. Free plug. I would love, with your permission, to put Tyler Hilton music in rotation.
Oh, yeah. Rotate it.
Yeah, baby. Everyone, all musicians love that word. They love the word rotation.
Speaking of music, we heard that you might play a song for us.
A little birdie just flew over. Now, is that timing? Is that cool? Can that happen right now? Because I will sit back, relax, and listen to some Tyler Hilton tunes.
Shoot. I'll play a song for sure. Let me see if you guys hear that guitar?
Yes, very, very well. It might even be a little hot.
Pretty hot still?
Yep.
Cool. Check. All right.
Live.
So I wrote this tune and I did a little music video for it, and my daughter's in it a little bit when she was like first born. This is called When I See You, I See Him.
Somewhere to fall, somewhere to lie, oh man. see home.
Tyler Hilton, live on the Bullhorn app, performing on Dadcast. Thank you so very much, man. That was amazing.
That was so good. I think that needs to go on Pirate Radio, like, right now.
Just give me a minute, okay? Yeah. If I were to do it right, I physically could actually do it right now just from the handy-dandiness of one of these. But, you know, give me a day. We'll put some Tyler Hilton on Pirate Radio. That'd be good stuff, man. Wow. So I know the answer to this question, but I have to ask, your baby girl is starting to become, at least, you know, from my experience, a little bit more of aware of her surroundings. Does she realize and understand yet that daddy's a musician? And does she take to it? If so, like, because I know you're playing around her.
Yeah, she's into it, but not as into it as she's into like
Coco Melon,
soccer ball, and playing baseball or something. Like, she's just, you guys know this more than I do, but it feels like for her so far that she keeps going through different phases, you know, where she's like super interested in something and super not. And so at first she'd be going through a phase and I'd be like, ah, she's going to be a baseball player. Or then she goes, and I'm like, she's going to be, and then it's over in like a week, you know? So,
right.
Like, she sings all the time. I can't get her to play my guitar or play piano, but she like sings nonstop. And then while she's potty training right now, she wants me to be playing my guitar and singing while she's on the toilet.
Well, so, if it helps, do it.
It's my role. Yeah. Yes, I'm doing it.
Yes.
So I got
the guitar set up right next to my closet where the toilet is, because that's where she likes to go. So I've got the guitar right next to the, actually, it's funny to even be saying this out loud, because it's just like our like world or whatever. But
this,
yeah,
is real life, man. In, yeah.
She'll be like, get the guitar. She'll like just say that, and I'll get the guitar. I'll stand outside the closet and be like, the itsy bitsy spot. And then it's all going down. It's like wild. It's a wild day.
I wish we had it that easy. Nick, sorry, man. You had a question.
Do you guys watch Coco Melon? I need to know if anybody else feels my pain.
No, I think I'm trying to like steer it away, because it's like it feels like daggers in my brain or something in my eyes. It's like so much. But she's into like Mother Goose Club, and that's okay. Like, seems cool. It's like these kids skipping around singing nursery rhymes, and
yeah,
and that seems cool.
I made the mistake of like thinking Coco Melon was like the coolest thing in the world, and I turned it on for him when he was like 6 months old, and it's been a year of freaking Coco Melon. And
2 years.
Yeah, almost 2 years of Coco Melon. Like, every time we go to the store now, we have to buy.
No. You see, I've been having this argument with him.
I guess we don't have to, but I'm like one of those dads where it's like, he gives you that.
You are in Nick, you are an enabler.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
You are 100% an enabler, and you complain about what you enable. So if I could get all psychology on you here, is that even a word? But wow. Yeah, man, it's.
And I feel like they just make up songs about the most mundane things. It'll be like,
it's, we're terrible.
Walking down the hall, we're walking, we're opening the blinds. And like, it just, every song is so random.
Why can't they get the cool and unique is, like Sesame Street did?
I'll still sit there and watch it. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? Why am I still enjoying this?
I know. Why am I still watching this? I know.
Right. All the time. I did get him into Disney's The Good Dinosaur, though, so I'm kind of stoked on that, because that's we're making some progress.
Oh, that's cool. You know what we got real into is Garbage Truck Day is like a big day of the week here, because it's something that happens different every week, you know? And Trash Truck Day, the day before, it's like a whole thing. And then, you know, the night, I'll go to sleep in the morning, you know, like, it's the whole vibe. But she's obsessed with trash trucks, and I started looking that up on YouTube. And then we found Blippi. Have you guys seen this?
Thankfully, remember, my kids are old enough now where I'm out of that phase. So,
oh, you missed this. Oh.
I have no idea what a Blippi is, but I'm excited to hear about it. Cool.
He's just this, like, dude who, like, gives these crazy tours of, like, really interesting stuff. Like a garbage truck will give a tour of the garbage truck, and it'll stretch this thing out for like 40 minutes or whatever. It's like amazing. And you're like, and this is the turbine that, you know, and like the kids are like fascinated. And I'm sitting there watching the same thing too. Like, he does that with Zambonis, you know, for the ice. Mm-hmm. Does it, like, cool.
Yeah.
Love this dude.
The greatest.
Amazing. Yeah. Nick, so all right. So have you prepared a fast five for Tyler Hilton?
I have, but I'm going to talk about Great Notion Brewing real quick, though.
That was, you read my mind. So we got another sponsor we're going to talk about here real quick, Tyler. First of all, Tyler, are you a drinker? Do you like beer on occasion?
You know, I don't drink anymore.
Okay.
I stopped a while ago. But
all right. Well, that answers that question. All right. Well, because I was going to say, if you still did, this will come in handy right now. But never mind. Nick, have at it.
Anyway, so we are sponsored by Great Notion Brewing out of Portland, Oregon. Some of the best beer that I've ever tried. They are a specialty brewery, so you cannot buy it in stores. You have to order it off their app, and they send it direct to your door, and it comes to your door cold. So you want to use the code DADCAST10. Go to their website, greatnotionbrewing.com. You'll get 10% off your purchase, and it'll ship right to your door.
Attaboy. Wow. Attaboy. And thank you, Great Notion Brewing. Yeah. I've got a whole box of it sitting right there, and I can't open it yet because I got to make a video about it. But I really, really want to try some of those beers. I mean,
you can pull the box up because the box is really cool. Like, okay. So all the beer cans and the boxes are designed by a super famous skateboard designer. So he actually worked by Tony Hawk and Sector 9, and like the graphics are just incredible.
Great Notion Brewing. This is very heavy.
Even if you don't drink, just like the cans are like the coolest things I've ever seen.
That whole thing is so like Oregon to me. Like that box containing that like microbrew, that's so Oregon and rad.
Yeah, it's so Portland.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
Very Portland.
Very Portland. Are you a movie fan, Tyler?
Yeah.
What about Star Wars? You a big Star Wars guy at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like I've seen them and I can't quote everything from it, but yeah, like, you know,
I just spent $500 on lightsabers at Disneyland.
Oh dang! how does that happen? How many lightsabers did that get you?
Well,
what does a lightsaber go for?
So, well, it depends. Days? You know, there's actually a market for it, which I hadn't realized until recently. But so there's a shop inside the park at Disneyland, inside Star Wars Land, which is Galaxy's Edge. It's called Savvy's Workshop, where you can make an appointment and say it's a whole event. It's kind of like a ride. And you make your appointment and you go in. It's like $220 per person to build a lightsaber, but it's really cool. So I did one a couple years ago, and my son is now old enough. He's 11. He's like, Dad, can we please? Only thing I want to do is ride this ride and make a lightsaber with you. And I'm like, absolutely, we can make a lightsaber.
Dad, like, right. So cool.
So we went in, and it's, you know, there's a big old story to it, and you get to pick all different kinds and combinations of stuff and build the lightsaber. So we built those two, which was, okay, I spent more than $500 for the record. That was about $500 for those two. But then found out that the day we were leaving, the very next day, they were releasing a new limited edition from one of the video games. Anyway, so I had to buy one of those. And but it was really fun and worth it, and memories. And these things are heavy. We're talking like 15, 20 pound like movie prop material. And
no way.
Yeah, not no cheapy plasticky, you know, Walmart stuff. No offense to Walmart. We love you, Walmart. But
right.
So
it's like a Halloween costume.
So Tyler, your next kid, you're going to have a boy, because right now you're stuck with Build-A-Bear.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Gotta be a whole different thing when it's a dude. I can't even imagine. It's like,
it's a whole different ballgame, man. You got like a little girl is like, you got Barbie, you got all the little girl cool stuff. And then you get a boy, and it's all about sports and wrestling and like just all kinds of crazy stuff.
Do you think like the difference between a girl kid and a boy kid is any different than the difference between two girl kids? Like, are even the same gender? Are they each very different from each other?
Very, you know what very I mean? Different. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder sometimes if it's like,
even like at the infant stage when they're not talking, it's like, it's different. Like the feelings are different that you have. Like, I don't know. It was different for me for a little girl than it was for a little boy. For like a little boy, it's like, you got your best friend, your little homie. For a little girl, it's like, oh, I got to protect this thing. This like, I don't want any boys looking at her. It was like just a whole different experience, different feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. And same for me. The best way I can describe it is, and Sawyer and Avery and Chloe, this is not playing favoritism. If you ever come back and watch this episode. Okay. So I must be clear right up front that Daddy doesn't love any one of you more than the other. Okay. Things are just different. With my son, he was the first child that was mine that I ever had. And it came late in life for me. I was 36 when I had my first kid, and it was just, you know, amazing. And it's a son, and I was the last male to continue the line. So if you want to get back in medieval times, the Pierce name will live on. So yeah, there was those thoughts going through my mind, and just proud. I have a son. Felt like Simba and Lion King, and just holding him up. But and then 3 years later, hey, I'm pregnant again, and it's a girl. And it, immediate fear. I mean, it was just, oh gosh, a girl. Oh no, I can't have a girl. Oh no, you know, like I know. Oh man. But over time, it turned into the, I don't know, like you said, the protection.
Wait, did you know ahead of time? Because that's the other thing. I actually didn't know. We didn't find out till she came out. So I didn't know that it was going to be a chick till it came out, which is wild. I was ready for whatever, but so, it was just like, that's wild. That's, yeah.
This is a funny story. My lady, it turns out everyone and their mother's mother's best friends, uncles, and nieces knew before me, because my lady, sorry, hon, couldn't keep her mouth shut, but she was able to keep it secret from me because Christmas 2012. So Christmas morning, my big present from mommy was this intricately wrapped box with bows and whatnot. And I had no idea. And she got her phone out so she could film a reaction. So I knew something crazy was up right then and there. And I open it up, and it is the photo, you know, from in utero, and wow, and two itty bitty bitty pink shoes and a pink bow. And that was how she let me know that we were having a girl. And the emotions that went through my, I mean, you look back at this video and I guarantee it's not what she was hoping for reaction wise. It was kind of, like I said, it was, you know, one of these numbers. And then she turned off the camera. Wait, and
so
then,
were you finding out you were having a kid at the same time?
Like, No. I knew she was pregnant.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
But I didn't know that, you know, boy or girl yet at this point, but she knew 3 or 4 weeks prior. And like I said, I found out that everyone else knew before me on Christmas. And, but yeah, it's just a completely different set of feelings. And like I said before, none are more important than the other. They're just considerably different. But that bond between the daughter is just, whoof, it is powerful. And so is my son. And my girl likes to draw. She brought this to me last night.
That's awesome.
Best dad forever, I promise. I don't know why she needs to promise me, but she promised.
Because she knows she's going to be 17 someday.
Or that's she's awesome. Already, she's super duper smart, so she may be planning something to ask for later.
There you go.
You know,
that's what you have to respect.
She's got
to
butter me all up, and then, dad, can I? And okay. Which is, you know, what I tend to do anyway.
Some of that stuff comes natural, which is so funny. Like, she just started doing the dad says yes when mom says no kind of a thing. I was like, nobody taught you that. We're not in school. Like, there's no one to input anything into your brain except what we're giving you. And she's already coming up with these, like, things. It's just funny. You know?
What was her first word?
Yeah. Her first word was, duck.
Duck.
She said duck nonstop for so long. Duck.
Now in public, was that construed as something else and possibly causing funny moments?
Actually, no, it's funny because so we moved to Canada from California, where my wife's parents are from and her family. And so we're kind of like a little bit out in the middle of nowhere on this river, and there's ducks everywhere in the summer. And when she was kind of that age. And so just ducks all the time everywhere. And she just loved them, thought they were the greatest things ever. Duck. That was what she said.
Duck.
And Nick's kid says the other word. Never before mama.
Yeah. All right, man. It is time for the Fast Five. Okay. This is a little segment we like to do, Tyler. It's just five random quick questions, nothing too deep and personal.
Cool.
And then I'm going to probably add a couple afterwards because that's what I do. And let's go. Let's do it, Nick.
All right. Cool. All right. So what is your favorite food to cook for your daughter?
Oh, favorite food to cook. Oh, I make these like pancakes that are like, you know, a little bit of like baby oatmeal, some egg and banana or whatever. And she loves them. And she like loves peanut butter, eats it so much. That's my favorite thing. I put a bunch of peanut butter and she thinks it's the greatest thing ever.
Nice.
All right. I'm going to have to try that one. I got to get Liam to eat something other than macaroni and cheese.
And donuts.
Oh, nice.
and donuts.
She's,
yeah,
she just wants to stick her hand in the peanut butter jar. She's always like, Dad, can That's I awesome. Stick my finger in the peanut butter jar? Always, always asks me that. Loves it.
Nice. Okay, so when you could play music at shows in venues, what was your favorite venue to play?
Oh, man. I think... I mean, the Wiltern Theater in LA is probably like the best theater I've ever played. You know, it's to me, like, I think if a venue gets too big, you lose the vibe. And, you know, but like, I think bigger than a club and a theater has a special, there's something about a theater. So I both like seeing shows there, but being on stage there, it's the best. The backstage is just so, there's something about the Wiltern Theater that will always be like the ultimate venue.
I saw Beauty and the Beast at the Wiltern. Gosh, 98, 99 ish.
Whoa.
Yeah. What,
like the play?
The actual play, yes.
Wow.
It was a full production, man. It was amazing. That's Big cool. Show Brandon just came on and said, what's up, fellas?
What's up?
All right.
All right. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
Dang, man. You know what I love about like these questions? I always think this when people are asking questions on podcasts I'm listening to. I'm like, how is this person going to answer this? Like, was he prepared for this?
No, nope,
like,
that's the beauty like? Of Fast Five.
Yeah, you know, you're right. That's the vibe. I would probably just say like, keep it simple, do good. You know, I think like when things get really complicated to me, I just try to like keep it simple and do good. And that's what I always try to like pay forward with advice. But yeah.
Dig it.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. Do you prefer acting or singing?
You know, probably singing if I had to pick, you know, it's this thing I'll do till the day I die, no matter what, but it's, I'm acting so much fun. I would be so sad if I couldn't do both, but yeah, singing's part of me, you know?
All right. What is your favorite thing to take your daughter to go do?
You know, we walk up to the fire station right and, and we watch the fire truck leave sometimes. That's probably like the most exciting thing we've done in a while. No, but we go to the fire station as often as we can during the week, and she loves it. And it's become like our favorite thing to do. Pick out a couple rocks, bring them back home for mom, you know, make a whole day out of it.
That's awesome.
That it, Nick?
That's it.
Okay. All right. So I always add a couple. I'm going to go serious first and then loosey-goosey right afterwards. This falls right under the category for you. Shouldn't be difficult to answer, Tyler, because you are in the realm of being a new dad, in my opinion. So with that being said, if you could offer one bit of advice to any guy out there who is a brand new dad or about to become a dad, what would it be?
Like get comfortable with a schedule and like take control of that. I'd say the sooner you can put your life on a schedule or like think in terms of schedule, everything will like fall into place. Like when things get chaotic for us or for me, it's because we're like off a schedule, you know, and I wasn't necessarily too into that beforehand, but that has saved me, especially in the early parts where sleep's all off and whatever. If you could know that there's a couple points, like at this point you're making dinner, at this point you're doing whatever, it just keeps like the world spinning on the axis. So I would say that, and also a diaper caddy. So stupid, but this thing I got from Target, you could bring like diapers and things to any room, was so helpful because there would be something would happen in run room and you're like running across the house to this.
Oh crap, the wipes are over there. Yeah.
Right. Now I got this mobile caddy I take to my bedroom, I'll take to this room. Everywhere I go, I just take it with me. It's the best. So those two, and I had a few other guys I knew were having kids at the same time. I tried to send them to Target to get them, and they didn't get it, and I think they regretted it. But diaper caddy, $10, save your life. It's amazing.
Thank you, Target.
I'm going to
Target.
He's going? All right. Hey, so your first diaper change, intimidated?
Okay, so my sister had a kid like a year before we had Winnie, and I knew that this was going to be prep for me. So I like got so into her vibe right off the bat, and wanted to be like, you know, a great uncle or whatever, but I thought so I never changed a diaper, and they taught me. And I mean, the first time I did it, I was like, I didn't know anything. I never even touched a diaper. I'll be honest with you. Since I was a kid, I knew nothing about babies, nothing about. I was so curious to see how my younger sister was going to do this. Like, what do you like learn about bottles, or like, what bottles even buy? Like, I was so fascinated. She could even figure out how to do this, what diapers to get. She taught me everything. It was great. And then when I had Winnie, you know, it just came so natural. I don't know. I kind of said right from the get go, I want to change as many of the dirty diapers as I can, because I want to be so comfortable with it. I thought I was going to be leaving the situation relatively soon to go back out on the road. So my plan was, let me get as much of this dadding in as I can. And then it turned into like a pandemic. So,
and here we still are.
Yeah. So now I'm changing diapers. Like, you know, a Marine changes a rifle, you know, I'm like blindfolded, like, you know, just like totally like,
Again, you're putting a nail on that head that I said earlier, that more dads out there need to be like Tyler Hilton, man. Amazing. Not scared of the diaper. Okay. Couple more questions. And one I just came up with, and it is absolutely relevant. We'll get to that in a moment. Tyler Hilton, you can play one show with any artist, living or dead, that you have not played with yet. Who's it going to be?
Okay. I would definitely say that it would be Muddy Waters, because the vibe is like, even though I love Elvis and I love all these like people, and there's something about Muddy Waters, that blues musician, that I always go back to, and I'm like, I know this doesn't make like any sense, whatever, but I feel like he's my spirit animal. And like, ever since I was like young, I was like, there's something about this dude that really like speaks to me. And the spirit of him kind of like, I don't know, like fueled so much of like my youth and my music. And I don't know, there's something, and it wouldn't just be seeing the show. It wouldn't just be playing the show. It would be being around someone vibey like that in their like soupy element of playing music. I would just like to be near that, you know? So anyway, Muddy Waters. Yeah, that would be the guy.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Same question, but you can co-star with any actor, living or dead, or actress on a movie. Who's it going to be?
I don't mean to be so cheesy, but it would be James Dean, you know, because when I was a kid, man, I just thought he was like the greatest thing ever. And I learned everything about him. And I just thought the 50s were so cool. And I just thought something about, if I could be in a movie with him and we could be sitting in our actor chair, smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, talking about 50s era things, I'd be like, this is the greatest moment of my life. So I think, and that era of movie making is so kind of cool. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. My dad graduated high school in 1955. So he lived it, and grandpa took a lot of pictures. So I got to see a lot of the cool family history during that time. Oh, I know. Right. Okay.
What a crazy year. I feel like Elvis just taken off. When did James Dean die? 55, I think. Anyway, it all happened like right there, you know, and World War II is only like 10 years away.
Vietnam's only 10 years away. It's crazy.
I never
thought
about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This like,
nuts. I know. Okay. I'm going to forget these questions. Okay. The advice we went through, we did the, who you're going to play with. Okay. Here it is. This is a fun one. I don't ask every episode. It all depends on the guest and how I feel about how they have been having a good time with you. So I think you're going to appreciate this. And I promise you up front, I'm not trying to trick you, but I do have to forewarn you that the answer to this question, I'm still searching for someone to do better than a particular person who I will let you know who it was when we're done. I'm looking for a better answer than what this guy said to this question. Nice. And here we go. What is one thing Tyler Hilton cannot leave the house without?
Oh, man, I got to be honest. It's not that funny, but it's an AirPod, man. I got an AirPod in my ear just about every hour of the day that I'm not like.
Okay. All right. And that is an AirPod. Perfectly fine and a typical answer. That is great. Now, when I tell you about the answer to this question, you're going to do one of these.
I can't wait.
And you're going to go, why didn't I think of that? I guarantee it. So I asked that question of a lot of people. As I said, I work in radio, so I've had the opportunity to interview countless amount of musicians and bands and whatnot over the years. And George Thorogood answered question with, out skipping a beat, what's one thing I can't leave my house without? Well, kissing my wife.
Dang.
Right?
Wow.
And it makes us all go, oh man, I am a poor excuse for a husband.
Now we got that. Now I'm gonna start using that.
There
I'm
you go.
Give him any credit.
Feel free. You heard it from JP.
You see your daughter too, and then you've got a beat.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a good there one. You go. Dang. Yeah. I had a good buddy who was on tour with him forever and said he was like the coolest guy. Loved him. Like loved George Thorogood. I was like, what's George Thorogood like? He's like the greatest.
Dude, he's
like,
so cool, greatest. Man. I love him. He really is.
Which you want to hear. I feel like you want to know that George Thorogood's cool. It's always a bummer when someone's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we hate that. All right. I've got one question that I said is actually relatable to pop culture right now. Did Chris Rock deserve it?
Dude, that is so uncomfortable. No,
was it fake or was it real? Is what I want to know.
I don't know. I was like, that like kind of sent me into a tailspin. I was like,
yeah, I know.
Uncomfortable. I was just like,
you're in your own house, in your own couch with no one around, and I'm sweating and anxious and turning red. What is happening here? It was
I know,
just
it felt like I mean, you know, whatever. Like, to me, it felt like so inappropriate. It's like when you're at somebody's house and all of a sudden they're like screaming at each other. I'm like,
yeah,
he's happening. I didn't even watch it, but my wife had said the next day, like, hey, did you hear what happened with Will Smith? I was like, no. She's like,
oh,
I can't wait to tell you and to show you this video. I was like, what happened with Will Smith? I just like, wow.
But anyway,
almost like gave me a stomachache. I was like, that is crazy stuff. And I forgot, like, haven't even got to talk about it with anyone.
But yeah. All right, so there you have it. He is Tyler Hilton, American singer, songwriter, actor extraordinaire. You can check him out on old episodes of One Tree Hill, and I highly recommend his appearance as Elvis in Walk the Line. By the way, we didn't even touch on that, but
one of the greatest movies of our time.
Good job in that one, man. That is just big fan. I want to thank you so very much for coming on the podcast. Of course, the Bullhorn.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. And for everybody watching and listening to this live, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate you. And to anyone who may be watching this later down the line, as it is on the YouTube, we kindly ask you, subscribe, leave a comment, like it, hate it, whatever. Either or works. We appreciate you and we love you so much. Thanks for checking us out. Dadcast.co. Once again, he is Tyler Hilton. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Dads.
Dad's rule.
Dad. Cool. No, thanks, guys.
Absolutely, man. Thank you. And wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Your agent will be in touch with you. And all I can say at this point, since Nick already kind of blew it, I hope you say yes. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
All right. Cool, guys.
All right, man. Now, how do I end a live video? That's there it is. It's up top. All right. All right, you guys. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day. And for everyone again watching and listening live, you're awesome. We appreciate you. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
Later.